All right, welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this final segment, I am replaying really the first half of an interview that we had earlier on this week. It was posted on Thursday out of Skeena Resources. I'm replaying this interview because this was some pretty important fundamental news out of the company releasing their pre-feasibility study that was very good in a lot of different respects. Chad and I were joined by Walter Coles, and we discussed really the ins and outs of this PFS and then the additional growth opportunities of the company. I hope you all enjoy this final segment, and to hear the full interview, be sure to visit our website, kereport.com. Click on that Thursday posting. Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off today's daily editorials with an update from Skeena Resources, traded on the TSX under the symbol SKE and on the OTCQX under the symbol SKREF. Chad and I are chatting with the president and CEO, Walter Coles. Now, Walter, I wanted to get this interview out early today because the company just released some key news on the PFS, pre-feasibility study, at the SK Creek property. Now, you have provided us a couple slides, actually a slide presentation outlining this PFS and also some of the work that's going to be done to continue to expand and grow this asset. I will post a link to that full slide deck. And I will also pull out a couple slides that we focus on here throughout this interview for easy reference. Now, the first couple slides in this slide deck really talk about the location of the SK Creek project, also the SNIP project that is held by Skeena Resources, both in really the heart of the Golden Triangle. And one of the slides also outlines the infrastructure that is around these assets. A lot of that is because of the historical production on these assets and really its location in the Golden Triangle around some other well-known mines. Let's start on slide 6 here. Now, we have the 2021 resource estimate. We already had those numbers of over 5 million ounces in measured and indicated, but now we're seeing the reserve statement, the conversion to reserves here, 3.88 million ounces gold equivalent at just short of 4.6 grams per ton. Let's start here, Walter. Take us through the conversion here into reserves to support this PFS, please.
Yeah, thanks, Corey. We're really excited to achieve this milestone, getting this PFS out, really an important step in this project evolution. I'd say, you know, as a note to all of your audience, this is a snapshot in time. We're going to continue to grow this project, but this is where we are today. So, what's so important that's come out of this PFS? The first is the conversion from resource to reserves. We had a conversion rate of about 76%. So when you move from resource to reserves, now we have a much higher confidence level in what's here and economics around it. So the reserves that are presented in the PFS, it's 3.88 million ounces of gold equivalent. The grades actually improved a little bit from the PEA. In the PEA, we were around 4.3 grams. Now we're up to 4.6 grams. So, you know, always happy to see any kind of improvement in grade. I'd highlight that we, with that resource estimate that we published a couple months ago, we converted most of the inferred over to measured and indicated, but there still is a little bit of inferred, and we're drilling that out right now. So we'll, you know, hopefully as we move from the PFS to the pre-feasibility, we'll add another, you know, say 175, 200,000 ounces, and the reserves will go over 4 million ounces. So great work by Paul and his team on the resource delineation and now the reserves.
All right, let's get into slide 7 because this really summarizes the numbers here of this PFS. And using the base case, U.S. gold price $15.50, silver price of $20 U.S., we're seeing an after-tax NPV of $1.4 billion Canadian, an after-tax IRR of 56%, and CapEx here looks to be U.S. dollar-wise $381 million. this looks like a cash flow generating asset right here, Walter. Take us through the PFS, the summary here on this slide, and also some of the sensitivities to the underlying gold and silver prices.
Yeah, so you know, I'd add to your description and just point out the lowercase. At $1,400 gold, this project still has a 49% after-tax IRR. So there's margin of safety with this asset, and that's because of the grade, again, that 4.6 grams per ton. Of course, you go the other direction. If you look at it at say, you know, $1,700 gold, the IRR jumps to 62%. The annual after-tax cash flow is $300 million a year over a 10-year mine life. So, you know, the financial metrics for this project are nothing short of awesome. In terms of differences from the PEA to the PFS, we've grown the production profile. In the PEA, it was 306,000 ounces a year. Now we're up to 350,000 ounces a year. In the PEA, the mine life was 8.7 years. Now we're up to 10-year mine life. The all-in sustainable cost came down. It was around $600 U.S. per ounce. Now the life of mine all-in sustainable cost is down to $548 per ounce. And that's a consequence of both the improvement in grade and that we were able to achieve a higher grade concentrate. So that cut our shipping costs down and it gave us slightly higher payable terms from the smelters. In terms of CapEx, CapEx has gone up. In the PEA, the CapEx was $230 million U.S. Now we're $381 million. So a meaningful jump in the CapEx. And that is the... You know, the biggest driver of the increase in CapEx was additions to the mill circuits to enable us to target a higher grade concentrate. And also, the improvements in the mill flow sheet have enabled us to remove more of the deleterious elements, which has significantly reduced the amount of penalties we pay to the smelters. So great work by everyone on our engineering team, led by Shane Williams, on this PFS. It's just it's a great result, but I would add, you know, we're pleased with it, but not satisfied, because we think there's going to be further improvement between the PFS and the feasibility study, which we're targeting to have out in about 6 months. You'll see another jump in the production profile with the feasibility study.
Well, just as it is, it's already quite impressive. And when I look at the production profile, what you expect, just 450,000 in the first 5 years and a life of mine of about 352, even if that continues to ramp up, it's already a fairly world-class project at this point. And I may actually just jump ahead to one slide, which is slide 12 on there, and that's how this production profile would stack up to other similar mines in the area. Could you review just where it is now and how it would stack up to other mines in the area?
On this slide, we took other open pit, we ranked other open pit mines in Canada. The number one largest project open pit gold mine in Canada is Canadian Malartic, which is half owned by Agnico and Yamana. Last year, in 2020, it produced 578,000 ounces of gold. Detour Lake, number two, which is owned by Kirkland, that produced 517,000 ounces. And here we are, Eskay, if it were in production today, as defined by the PFS, it would be producing 350,000 ounces. So that would make Eskay Creek the third largest gold mine in Canada. But as I mentioned, we're not going to rest on our laurels. You know, the whole team is pushing hard to keep growing this project while at the same time get it into production as quickly as we can. So, you know, everyone's excited. I mean, we all think that, you know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to work on a project that's as stupendous, you know, incredible as Eskay. So we're not going to rest. I tell everybody this is not a marathon. It's a full on sprint. So, you know, we're focused in trying to keep growing Eskay and make it bigger.
Well, that wraps up this weekend edition of the KE Report. I do want to remind everybody, please go back throughout the week, listen to our daily editorials and a lot of those company updates that we recorded. We're focusing a lot on companies right now because, quite frankly, the markets are slow. It's summer trading. And even though a lot of the stocks are still struggling, it's a great time to really dive into these companies and see what work they're doing and make sure their plans and their goals and their strategy really fit what you're looking for in some of your investments. As always, please keep in touch with Shad and I. Our email addresses are fleck@kereport.com and shad@kereport.com. We appreciate all the emails we get on companies that we have featured on the show or companies that you haven't seen on the show recently. We do our best to reach out to all of those companies and bring them on the show. I want to thank all of you for tuning in on this weekend show. I hope you all have a great weekend. Next week, a little bit less content as I will be on the road getting a little trip in, but we'll still be with you day after day covering these markets and what companies are up to. Everyone, have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.